to discuss his lack of effort in two plays in yesterday's loss in Denver. A U.S. District Court judge in Texas denied the NFL's motion for an emergency stay of an injunction that's allowing Elliott to continue to play while his six-game suspension for violating the league's personal conduct policy works its way through the courts. So this means Elliott can continue to play for Dallas.
Ezekiel Elliott and the Cowboys offense struggled to move the ball against Denver. What went wrong with their high-powered offense? We'll ask Lewis Reddick when he joins Mike and Mike Tuesday morning at 9:30 on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
When you're hiring, you want qualified candidates fast, and it can be hard to know where to find them. More than 3 million businesses use Indeed.com, the world's number one job site. Whether you need entry-level or highly skilled employees, Indeed helps you find great talent and make the right hire. Indeed is offering new users a $50 credit to give their first job post premium visibility as a sponsored job. Redeem this offer at Indeed.com/promo. That's Indeed.com/promo. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
It's O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Get 5 quarts of Castrol High Mileage Motor Oil and a MicroGuard filter for the price of conventional just $24.99. Plus, earn double points on this purchase during O'Rewards Member Appreciation Month. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
No lizard, or TV personality, or bespectacled professor. No stage, no set, no facade. Insurance isn't entertainment. It's something you need to keep a bad thing from turning into a worse thing. That doesn't mean it has to be all stone-faced and serious. It can come with a kind, smart person who answers the phone or an email or even comes to your home when you need them. At Skogman Carlson Insurance, you have a person. A real one. Get to know yours at youhaveaperson.com. Supported by Integrity Insurance.
Napa know-how.
Getting the best usually costs a pretty penny. But when it comes to getting one of the best motor oils, your pennies don't have to be pretty at all. Because Valvoline Full Synthetic Motor Oil is only $5.59 a quart. So open up that piggy bank and treat yourself to the best with Valvoline Full Synthetic. Now just $5.59 a quart. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 9/30/17.
Sometimes the best seats in the house are above it. In college football, that's the Goodyear blimp. And for more than 60 years, we've seen what it takes to be worthy. It takes toughness, dedication, and perseverance. Because seasons aren't measured by wins and losses, but by heart. Some call it hard work, determination, or grit. We call it blimp worthy. Goodyear, official sponsor of the college football playoff.
Truex stays atop the charts.
I've never been in a position like this.
And a crew chief shuffle for Hendrick. I'm Woody Kane. Those stories next on NASCAR Today.
Before the winner's circle, before the engines start, the chase for the checkered flag begins in the garage. Follow Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jimmy Johnson, Chase Elliott, and Casey Kane in a groundbreaking new series that goes behind the scenes with Hendrick Motorsports. Road to Race Day is now streaming on go90.show/MRN. That's go90.show/MRN.
Duralast batteries are proven tough in the most extreme conditions. They're tested to start in 140-degree heat or temperatures of 40 below. Yep, they're that tough. So if they can do that, they can definitely perform for your nephew's soccer game, work through a scattered thunderstorm, or be dependable on Sunday afternoon trips to the grocery store. Because no matter what the weather's like, it's nice to know that you've got a proven tough Duralast battery under the hood. Duralast. Proven tough. And sold only at AutoZone. Let's get you what you need.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
After winning the regular season title, Martin Truex Jr. rolled into Chicago over the weekend and won in round one of the playoffs for the second year in a row. After his fifth win of the season, he said the 78 team was good last year too, just not this good.
I feel like right now we just have everything. We have the right people. We have the right support. You know, we have the right guys behind us. We have the right information coming in. We really just have it all going on for us right now, and things are clicking, and we're taking advantage of it.
Elsewhere, Hendrick Motorsports said today that Darian Grubb will take over as crew chief for Casey Kane for the rest of the season, replacing Keith Rodden, who's been reassigned within the company. Grubb topped Tony Stewart's pit box when he won the 2011 championship. Details on both stories are at MRN.com now. I'm Woody Kane. This is NASCAR Today on the Motor Racing Network.
It is hour number three of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Time flies when you are getting paid to do a three-hour radio show, does it not? Alex Kuhn alongside me, our producer Kyle Mann, will take you up until 7 o'clock tonight. Monday Night Football on the horizon. We'll have more details about that coming up in just a little bit. Week two of the NFL in the rearview mirror. Packers and Bears both losing yesterday. I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about anything in this segment. But unfortunately, that is part of the job, right? So let's talk. 319-366-1600. We've got a poll question for you today. KGYMradio.com. Is Mike Riley going to be coaching Nebraska when the Huskers and Hawkeyes meet on Black Friday this year? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway bringing you the poll question. Find them on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Chances, Alex, that Nebraska pulls the plug on Mike Riley before the end of the season?
I'd say right now probably 50-50. Maybe a little bit more towards they will. Because I don't think a lot of fans were happy with him when he went 5-7 in his first season. The way last season ended wasn't good for the fan base. And then now the disastrous, and I mean disastrous, start to 2017. With as much hype as there was surrounding the new quarterback coming in, I just... And I know that we had some Northern Illinois fans listening. Nebraska can't, a coach for Nebraska can't lose to Northern Illinois. Not even the Northern Illinois that went 12-0 in 2013. Much less what we see from that program now, which is around a 500 to slightly above 500 program in the MAC. A Nebraska coach can't lose at home to Northern Illinois and expect to keep their job. Especially when we've seen the last two coaches get fired after 9-win seasons. So Mike Riley's seat is very warm. Sean Eichhorst's seat is also very warm. And like you said earlier, Todd, probably more warm than Mike Riley's is. Because this was the guy that fired Bo Pelini. A very unpopular move with the people inside the program, with the players. And I don't think he has a lot of fans, not only outside of the program, but inside of the program either. I think Sean Eichhorst is one of the least liked people right now in Lincoln.
What do you guys think? 319-366-1600. Iowa fans, Iowa State fans, I guess there's still probably a little bit of residual dislike from Nebraska being in the Big 12 all those years, the Big 8. Do you worry or do you care about what's going on at Nebraska? Does this bring you joy? I know a lot of Hawkeye fans were certainly swimming in it Saturday before the Iowa-North Texas game got started, and then I think they were a little bit nervous through two quarters of play that maybe they shouldn't have opened their mouths talking about upset losses, and then the Hawkeyes were able to, in the second half, take care of North Texas. A couple late touchdowns made that score a little bit more lopsided and cosmetic than it actually was. Otherwise, a three-touchdown favorite is winning by 3 points at home as opposed to winning by 17. But I want to know, what do you think of what's going on at Nebraska right now? Is it something that you should even have on your radar? 319-366-1600. I think if we were west of here a couple hours, especially Des Moines, it's probably much bigger than it is. But I still think this is of interest to Iowa fans and those who follow the Big Ten, because you may not like it, but the Big Ten is better when Nebraska is good and relevant. The Big Ten is better when more of its teams are good and relevant. I mean, that's an understatement. But Nebraska has a little bit of that national sway. Not as much as it used to, not as much as it did 20 years ago, and that's part of the reason you got to convince Huskers fans that it's 2017 and not 1996 anymore. But the Big Ten is better when Nebraska isn't 1-2 and losing at home to Northern Illinois. 319-366-1600. Let's go to Bill in Cedar Rapids. Bill, what's up?
Hey, just some answers here. I'm from Missouri, so of course we don't like Nebraska, Oklahoma, blah, blah, blah. But anyway, my Sam and I were coming back from a golfing trip out west, and we went through Nebraska the first year they joined the Big Ten, and they were bragging about how Iowa's the Colorado of the Big Eight, and on about how bad we were. We tried to call in, and they wouldn't pick up our phone or call. So Sam and I think nothing of Nebraska. We had it on our phone this weekend, and we loved every minute of it. There you go.
Appreciate the phone call, Bill. We have seen this before and heard it before. Penn State, when it joined the Big Ten in 1990, was going to dominate the Big Ten. And the undefeated seasons were right there in the very beginning. And I think there were probably some nervous people in the Big Ten that thought, oh my God, they're going to do it. And then a decade later, you were looking back going, okay, they've sort of become a middle-of-the-road team, very good team, but they're not the dominant team that they thought when they joined the league. And 2010, 2011, Nebraska joining the Big Ten, all of the talk among their fans was, we are leaving Oklahoma and Texas behind, and we are going to turn the Big Ten upside down. We're going to dominate the Big Ten. We're going to dominate the Big Ten West. And they've had some good years. But the problem is they're not having a very good year right now. They got rid of Frank Solich, and they ran off Bo Pelini because they wanted a culture change. Well, they changed the culture.
Completely.
Completely. And it's blown up in the face.
Well, they've changed the culture. Unfortunately for them, the winning that Bo Pelini experienced and led in Lincoln also has evaded them under Mike Riley.
And nothing against Mike Riley, but I saw a picture of him, and I guess I usually don't see him without a hat on. I saw a picture of him over the weekend, and I'm thinking, this guy just looks like a middle-aged retiree or something, like who's lost his gusto for life. He doesn't look like a Division I Big Ten football coach. And I'm sure some of the fans have probably taken that into account. Say what you will about Bo Pelini, but Pelini looked like he cared a little bit too much.
He's a football coach, that's for sure.
And that was part of his problem. Riley, you just sort of get the vibe in the other direction. We lost, and we'll try to do better next week. And that mentality probably worked really well at Oregon State. It doesn't work well in a state where there is literally nothing else but Nebraska football. For everything that gets said about Iowa and Iowa State, and Iowa doesn't have any pro teams, Nebraska football is that state's NFL franchise. Everybody there, with exceptions, obviously, but the majority of the people there eat, breathe, and sleep Nebraska football. It's a different thing. And I'm not necessarily saying it's wrong, but this is also part of their own doing. And the chickens are coming home to roost again, because you ran off Solich. You got Bill Callahan. You had to turn to Bo Pelini to wash out the taste of Bill Callahan, and then eventually you get tired of Bo Pelini, and you go in a different direction, a completely different direction, and it's not working out. This is, I can't believe I'm going to say this right now. Mark my words, what is today? September 18th, 6:16. Mike Riley is the Todd Licklider of Big Ten football coaches. Nebraska hired the football version of Todd Licklider.
Oh, wow. And it's hard to argue with that. When he was hired...
Hot take!
I was completely shocked. And this is... I covered...
I was going to say, for people who may not know or have forgotten, you spent a little bit of time out there in Corvallis, and you were pretty close to the program. You knew what was going on there. You covered him.
In 2014, that was the year I covered him. They went 5-7. Sean Mannion, senior season. It was the year after they lost Brandon Cooks, and the 2 years after they lost Marcus Wheaton. And there were certain things about him that were shocking. First of all, he seems like a nice guy, is what I hear all the time. He is a nice guy, almost too nice to be a college football coach, and that's clearly what Nebraska wanted to do. They had Bo Pelini, and what happens when that doesn't work out? You go in the exact opposite direction, and that's exactly what they did. But I knew at the time what the expectations, whether they're realistic or not, what the expectations are around that Nebraska football program. And this was a coach in Mike Riley that never lost less than 4 games in a season at Oregon State. And they fired the previous coach after a 4-loss season. Best year for Oregon State was in 2006. They went 10-4. They lost 4 or more games every single year. Mike Riley was the coach there. Now, it's very difficult to win at Oregon State. There are a lot of hurdles. So I thought the people that made the argument for him were saying, well, he's going to go to a place where he has more resources. He's got a better recruiting base. He's going to a more big-time program. We'll see if it works out for him. And I just had this horrible feeling that it wasn't, and here we are.
Yeah, you called this pretty much from day one. I do remember that. Hang tight, Ryan and Dave. We're going to get to you, but Drew is up first. 319-366-1600. Talking all things Nebraska football here on the ESPN Superstation. What's up, Drew?
Oh, hello. What kind of offense that he's running? Like, it's not like a power running game. It's more like, you know, doing what Oregon does, kind of cut them off on the side and stuff. And, you know, they just seem to have lost that edge. When you go to that style offense, you really risk losing that, you know, power running edge. That one you have to have in the Big Ten. I mean, it's a major problem. Paul Rhodes is running like a similar type of thing for the first 4 years that I was dated. It didn't work out because when it was second and one, they didn't know how to get the yard, and Nebraska's the same problem. If you watch the Nebraska-Northern Illinois game, Northern Illinois scored from their 2-yard line by running the ball in. Nebraska kept having the pass when they were down there near the end zone. So it's a major problem. And one thing, Missouri's in a really bad place too. Both, you know, left the Big 12. Y'all talked about, but I think this is a great opportunity for Iowa State to rise up, you know, as kind of the Big 12 upper Midwest team, because Nebraska and Missouri have just screwed it up themselves.
Appreciate the phone call, Drew. We did not mention, by the way, Purdue with a very impressive, now I know Mizzou is down, but Purdue went on the road and went into Columbia and beat Missouri. What, 35-3 was the final score?
Yes.
Saw a picture of the stadium. Not a whole lot of people sticking around for that one, for the finish of that one. But Jeff Brohm is a hell of a coach.
Look out.
And we talked a little bit about that over the summer, what kind of impact he was going to have on that Purdue program. They look good early on. Now we'll see what they do during conference play. I think we lost Dave. Dave, give us a call back, 319-366-1600. Let's go to Ryan. Ryan, what's up?
Ryan, you got us?
Do we have Ryan?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
No, go ahead. What's on your mind?
No, I think the biggest issue with Nebraska, I'm a longtime Husker fan, grew up in Iowa, is the grass is always greener. And since Solich was fired, which obviously he was a 9-win coach, they got rid of him and they kind of made what they thought was the splash hire in Bill Callahan from the NFL. And he, I don't think, understood the culture of Nebraska, you know, got ousted there. And then Bo Pelini brought some fire in early and, you know, things got topsy-turvy with him, with his behavior, it sounded like. I think Riley's a 7-8 win coach at Nebraska, nothing more. This year, probably not 7 or 8 wins. Kind of a ho-hum guy, but I want, as a Husker fan, I want him to stay the course with him and just see what he can do with trying to get some offensive identity. And I believe that's probably the biggest thing that Nebraska screwed up, is change all the time. And you see what Iowa has done, and Iowa keeps it consistent. I know they've obviously had Ferentz for a long time, and he does a great job with knowing their identity and playing good, solid football.
Hey, Ryan, who do you want to be the next head coach at Nebraska? I know you just said they need to stay the course. They need to stay the course. Are you a Scott Frost guy?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Scott Frost was a tremendous player at Nebraska. He's got, you know, I think he's got to prove himself for a few years. I don't know if he's the next big thing at Nebraska. I don't know if there's anything next big thing at Nebraska. I think what they have to do is understand what they are. They're a Midwest college football team. They have to recruit nationally to be successful and get to the college football playoff and win. Well, first of all, win the Big Ten West, which, you know, is not easy with Wisconsin and Iowa playing good, solid football week in and week out. And here we're, as Huskers, we're sitting here sputtering, trying to find an offensive identity. I think Diaco will do a fine job, but it's going to take some time to get that 3-4 implemented.
Ryan, do you think Nebraska fans are capable of the patience that you are asking of them to ride this out?
I know my aunt is not. She lives in Cedar Falls, and she calls me up with dumpster fire stories every week. And, you know, I think patience is going to have to be asked. And I don't know if Eichhorst is going to be there much longer with, you know, some of the fan base just kind of upset with how he's gone about things. There's a lot of, I think in terms of the fan base, there's a lot of Bo Pelini backers still that are hanging around. And, you know, he can coach football. I'm sure of that. But he definitely didn't, in my opinion, do a great job of doing head coach, CEO type stuff.
Great call, Ryan. I appreciate hearing from you. I think we found the white buffalo, the Nebraska fan who is capable of stepping back and looking at that program and not being completely all in on everything's Husky. That was extremely well reasoned, and he's saying give him time and let him implement what he wants to do, his style of players, his style of offense. The problem is that fan base, and they're not the only one in college football, but that fan base does not have the patience for a rebuild.
They have a lot. It's hard for me to say this because I was a Colorado fan, and then I went to school at Iowa. So I always had this preconceived notion of what Nebraska was and what Nebraska fans were like. And then I went to Nebraska, and I thought that a lot of the, I thought their fan base as a whole got a little bit of a bad rap because to Nebraska, I thought that they were very hospitable. They were very nice people. When I actually went to the game, went tailgating, enjoyed the scene around Lincoln. The issue is they have a lot, and I mean a lot, of the fans I like to call message board fans. And
that's fair.
They are, those fans are very, very loud, and they let their voices be known, and there are lots of them in that Nebraska fan base. And sometimes you just sort of see the backlash that the expectation of those fans thinking that it's 1990 or thinking that it's the late 2000s or the late 90s and thinking that this team should be a top 5 program in times of change. But I still think that they can be a 9-10 win program if the right guy is in there. And I do think Scott Frost could be the right guy.
All right. Dave was on the line. Then he hung up or we lost him. And then Dave called back. So let's get to him. Dave, go ahead.
Yes, this is Dave calling, and it's an ironic situation. We went to a family reunion in Columbus, Nebraska this weekend, and the person who was hosting it was a 35-year ticket holder of four season tickets. And he invited us to come to a tailgate party. And, of course, there were all Nebraska fans there. And I asked about the team and how they were doing. And they said that they were doing well. Their quarterback had a tendency to throw interceptions, which I believe he threw three that day. And it was an ironic thing to watch these people just kind of pull their heads back into their turtle shells. And he had not gone to any games for about the last 10 years. He gives his four tickets away, hoping that someday they'll return to what they once were. And he feels that they gave up Pelini to get the coach that they currently have, and he's very disappointed.
Appreciate the perspective there, Dave. 319-366-1600. And here's the thing with Tanner Lee. Mike Riley, that's his decision. That's on him.
Yes, it is.
He decided that he was going to turn the offense over to him, and it so far has not worked out. And you start. I want to go back to it was Ryan, right? Ryan's call.
Yes.
The grass is always greener. It's not, and they've found that out, but not once now, but twice. Because you go from Solich to Callahan, and that I look with Voice of the Hawkeyes, we've got the Nebraska publication to Huskers Illustrated, so I keep up on Nebraska as much as I can, and I still have some of the magazines from that time. And Bill Callahan, yeah, big name NFL guy,
West Coast offense,
and flat. That's not what the Tom Osborne acolytes. They were never going to buy into that. I don't care. And it's the same deal with, I hate using the Licklider thing again, but if Licklider would have won 20-some games at Iowa, you still, a year, not over the course of years, plural, you still would have had a bunch of people that they wanted Tom Davis up and down, frenetic, full court press, sort of Fran McCaffrey style stuff. When a certain style of play is so ingrained in your culture, you can't sell somebody coming in overnight and saying, I know we've done it here this way for 40, 50 years, but we're going to do it my way. And people are going, I hope this guy knows what he's doing. And then the very first time that he stubs his toe, they got the pitchforks and the torches out.
I thought about this the other night, and I was surprised that no one else had really brought this up when we're talking about Nebraska. You mentioned that offense and that identity that they won championships with. What was that offense? It was the option. They have not been able to show that they could be a consistently good program without having during a time where that offense is no longer really applicable in college football. Yes, the service academies run it, but they have not been able to show that they can run a pro-style offense, a spread offense, a West Coast offense at a level that makes them competitive on a national landscape. And until they can do that, until they can get a guy that can do that, they are still going to be searching for an identity, because you can't just all of a sudden go back to the triple option.
6:30, we're going to step aside and take a quick break. We come back, Kyle's going to have another Midwest One Bank Big Board update for you. Look, Iowa is 3-0. Iowa State's 2-1. They don't play for another 10 days against Texas. You and I's going into the... Look, we're talking Nebraska football on KGYM, just the way you thought Monday was going to play out, right? Back with more after this.
Let's go, Hawks! Let's go, Hawks! Let's go, Hawks!
Cheer on the black and gold in your black and gold from BravoSportsMarketing.com. BravoSportsMarketing.com has everything you need as a true Hawkeye fanatic. Game day apparel, football ticket packages, Hawkeye posters, and the popular America Needs Farmers gear. Get your hands on the new Fight for Iowa logo tees, available in black or gold. You'll want one in each color for the black and gold spirit game against Penn State and the blackout game against Ohio State. BravoSportsMarketing.com also has game tickets to all home Iowa games. If you're heading to Northwestern, get your tickets right now for the Game Day Hawkeye Huddle tailgate party. And BravoSportsMarketing.com is the only place you'll find Hawkeye Village ticket and tailgate packages, including your game ticket, tailgate-style buffet, musical entertainment, and more. Hawkeye Village packages currently remain available for all home games. Get them now. BravoSportsMarketing.com. Over 20 years of authentic Hawkeye gear for serious Hawkeye fans.
Dupaco is a local financial cooperative that gives back to its members, like me. Just for keeping and growing my savings and services with them, my share was $200. They call it thank yous. Extra money I use to spoil the grandkids. And it makes me feel like $1 million.
At a financial cooperative, members are owners. It's member participation that powers Dupaco Community Credit Union. Thank yous is money in your pocket for your participation in the credit union through saving, borrowing, and spending. Last year, Dupaco members shared in more than $2.85 million in thank yous. How will you use yours?
Get a gym membership.
Go to the movies.
Donate it to charity.
Pay down my student loan.
Add to my retirement savings.
Buy that purse I just saw.
Learn more at dupaco.com/thank yous. Participate, cooperate, accumulate. The more you use Dupaco, the more you're thanked. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
As GIs returned from overseas and families began to boom, young Willa Dickens began honing his watchmaking craft at a highly regarded jewelry store on a bustling corner in downtown Iowa City. He worked steadily behind his jeweler's glass, eventually taking over the business. And as his reputation grew, so did his family. Sons Terry and Tim spent afternoons at his knee, learning about gemstones, precious metals, and most importantly, how to properly treat a customer. And as the decades passed, the three of them, along with a remarkably dedicated staff of friends, as well as Willa's granddaughter Kate, continued the tradition of excellence and integrity begun at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers in 1947. Now, as they celebrate their 70th year, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say congratulations to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
I don't know why I'm doing this, but Kyle says the next caller loves the show and he just doesn't want to give his name. And I guess that's the one way to do it, is to say that you love the show. So I don't normally take anonymous calls, but I understand we've got one more call to get to on Nebraska before we can squeeze in a big board update. So, caller, you were very patient. You hung on there. What do you have to say about the Nebraska Cornhuskers?
Well, first of all, you're talking to me?
Yep.
Okay, here's the situation. I got my brother and sister-in-law have been living there for 44 years, and they've seen it all. And they've gone through, what, four coaches? And none of them has been successful, except, you know, Tom Osborne and Stan Solich and all that. But my question, here's the question I'm curious about, is why is it in all these years, all this elastic sport, they never had an opportunity to give an African-American or any other major minority an opportunity to coach? I mean, they had Turner Gill that was totally interested in that job, and they blew him off. They totally blew him off. I don't know why. Maybe there was other rumors that say all different things. They had other coaches that had a chance to want to be interested, like Ron Brown and others. Didn't want them on there, but they wanted a certain person a certain way, and to do things a different way. You know, like Tommy. You know, like Tommy Frisch. He's not interested in coaching there. But I'm just saying, it's like, okay, give somebody else an opportunity. I'm seeing all these years they have over 30 selected sports, and all their sports have never had an African American head coach or any other head coaches of a major minority. And I just want to know why. I've asked Nebraska fans that. All I get is to run around and get excuses. It's like, give somebody a chance. It's not a black and white issue. It's a fact issue. That's all I'm trying to say. I mean, that's my question. So it's like, yeah, Riley's a nice guy, rah-rah, but don't you want a guy with the Nebraska tradition? You guys talk about Scott Frost. But what's wrong with Turner Gill? Turner Gill was successful. He had one bad stint in Kansas, but now he can't go get another big-time coaching job. Why is that? That's my question. At least the Iowa schools gave all their chances, you know, and everything else. I mean, at least on me, they're both in major sports, so I give them a pass, but Nebraska never has.
All right, we appreciate the phone call. 319-366-1600. Turner Gill is it's nothing to do with black or white. Turner Gill just sucks as a coach, right? He was at Buffalo for 4 years. He was 20-30.
He did a good job of resurrecting that program, but it has not found much success since.
He went to He's Kansas. At Liberty now. He went to Kansas for 2 years. They were 5-19. He was the immediate successor to Mangino, right?
Yes, after that program was at least respectable.
And now he is at Liberty University, where they're 35-24. What are they? Are they FCS?
They are FCS.
Wow. I would have lost a bar bet on that.
Although they did beat Baylor this year, correct?
Is that who beat Baylor? Well, yes. That may not necessarily be an accomplishment. And I'm sure I've upset the Iowa State fans already by talking bad about a possible victory over Baylor, but that program, and deservedly so, they deserve absolutely no happiness in Waco, in my opinion. Look, Turner Gill just, it's never going to happen for him, and it's not a black or white thing with Turner Gill. It's he's not a very good coach. He's got a couple opportunities, and they haven't worked out. Now, unfortunately, for a lot of African-American coaches, you have to go in and you have to not just be competent, but you've got to be great. Otherwise, you get Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, who idiots out there are still questioning whether or not Mike Tomlin's a good coach. And that's where I got to sit back and scratch my head and go, okay, are you really questioning his ability as a coach, or is there some other undercurrent here? Because there are people out there, Tomlin's good, but he's not great.
Two Super Bowls.
And people go, Tomlin. And I don't want to do this.
Yet Jeff Fisher kept getting no.
I don't, because the talk.
I had to drop a Jeff Fisher reference.
The talk sports crowd out there doesn't want to hear stuff like this. But I wanted to give the caller a little bit of slack in the leash, because I thought I knew where he was going, and eventually he got there. But that stuff exists. But I think if you went to Nebraska fans and said, I got a guy here and he's going to win you 11, 12 games and he's an albino or he's a purple Martian, I think at this point Nebraska fans would take. I don't think that they would be dumb enough to say, nah, we're not interested, because it's just not really Nebraska. And I don't, you know, who knows what type of politics play into that behind the scenes. They're going to want a Nebraska guy. And so that's why I think, I'm saying Scott Frost just because that's the name that keeps getting floated around there, not because I am buying into this, well, they want a white guy thing, which I think is where the caller was going. Did that make any sense?
It did.
Nah, it didn't. 319-366. We're overdue here. Kyle has a big board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa beat North Texas 31-14 on Saturday, but not without some bumps and bruises along the way, most notably to James Butler, who Kirk Ferentz said will be out for at least about a month. Butler suffered what appeared to be, in the best-case scenario, a hyperextended right elbow, and the first game Hawkeye fans may see him return is at Northwestern on October 21st. Ferentz said he expected everybody else, including Akram Wadley, to be back and healthy by midweek. Iowa's September 30th game with Michigan State was picked up by Fox today and flexed to 3 o'clock. Matchup and network alike, it'll be a rematch of the 2015 Big Ten title game and the first time the teams have met since. The game this weekend is going to be the 7th annual America Needs Farmers game, and Iowa Athletics has partnered with the Iowa Farm Bureau to announce that Chad Greenway will be this year's addition to the Wall of Honor. Greenway played at Iowa from 2002 to 2005 and with the Vikings until 2016. Iowa State got a commitment from 6'5", 2018 receiver Sean Shaw Jr. this afternoon. 24/7 Sports grades him as a 3-star and the 8th best prospect from the state of Oklahoma. You can catch the Iowa baseball team in an exhibition prior to the Iowa-Penn State nightcap at Kinnick. They'll be hosting the Ontario Blue Jays beginning at 11 and playing until 4 o'clock. Admission will be free. After the show tonight on 1600 AM, we'll have the Cyclone Call-In Show. And on the North and South Gym FM frequencies, it'll be Monday Night Football with the Lions and Giants.
Texter is very adamant that Tomlin didn't win 2 Super Bowls. He got to 2 Super Bowls, which is a hell of a lot more.
That's right. Bill Cowher won the first one.
Which is a hell of a lot more than a lot of other coaches can say.
That was the last year of Cowher, wasn't it?
Was it?
I think it was.
Yeah, he went out on top.
Him and Jerome Bettis.
Look, if you're asking me who I would take to coach my team, the guy who's currently on the sideline or Mike Tomlin, I think I would take Tomlin. I'm not a McCarthy Kool-Aid drinker. And he's losing me more and more every time I watch that team. Just come on. And the front office. Ah, see, I said in hour number two, I didn't want to talk about the Packers. And then it's a slippery slope. That game last night. I was so looking forward to watching it last night. And then I had Devontae Freeman on one of my fantasy teams. So I'm like, okay, yeah, track meet. Devontae Freeman can score as many points as he wants as long as Green Bay winds up winning the game. And then, well, yeah, stuck in quicksand. But at least we're not the Jets or the Bears or, God forbid, some of the other teams out there that look at
the Cleveland Browns.
It's the race to...
Although, what about the Bengals?
Yeah,
or,
there's nobody in worse shape than the Bengals.
The NFL season is a long road, and it's week two, and those fan bases already know that their team is not going anywhere. They're already looking ahead to next year in the draft.
Yeah, I think a lot of those fan bases were looking at that, felt that way before the first snap even took place of the NFL season.
But by all means, continue to say that it's players kneeling for the national anthem while ratings are down.
Yep.
It can't be that the product isn't that interesting, or that there are teams in the league that are as bad as the Browns and the Jets. And yeah, I'm going to throw the Bears in there because week one, I think, is looking more and more like fool's gold.
Who was the favorite to win the NFC this year? Do you know the answer to that? It was the Seattle Seahawks, was it not?
Oh,
they were at least one of the top two teams. They have not scored an offensive touchdown yet in 2017. They beat the 49ers. Oh, sorry, actually. They scored their first one yesterday. They beat the 49ers 12-9 yesterday. Now, that's a game a lot of people want to tune into, to see the favorite in the NFC barely scratch out 200 yards of offense against the 49ers. Even the good teams aren't interesting.
It is. It's the No Fun League. And actually, I was getting ready to come into work today, and the 30 for 30 on the XFL was being replayed. And I know we talked about this, Tyler and I did, when that first aired. But it's hard to believe that was 2000, 17 years ago, and Vince McMahon is at the podium, and he's referencing the No Fun League. And this narrative has been around the NFL for a really long time. But now you're seeing it trickle down into college. Because Akram Wadley is high-stepping, and you throw a flag, and I'm thinking, okay, throw a flag, they're going to penalize this on the kickoff. No. The play comes back to the 24 or whatever it was where he started to high-step, and Kirk Ferentz said, you know, look, I told Akram Wadley, you're too good of a player to do that. That was a very diplomatic way for Kirk Ferentz to address the situation because I'm sure he was mad at Akram Wadley. You know Kirk Ferentz has to hate that rule. There can't be a coach that likes that rule. And there aren't too many officiating crews, I would think, that would call that.
There aren't many. And like you said, Akram Wadley, Iowa, they know the rules. And it's a rule. You're not supposed to do that. But the fact that that somebody felt the need, what was it, 5 or 6 years ago, to change that rule. It used to be, if that happens, if an excessive celebration penalty happens, even while if it's during the play, it's enforced on the kickoff. Isn't that punishment enough? Giving a team 15 yards of field position on the kickoff, that's punishment enough for an excessive celebration penalty, but to wipe out a touchdown for something that mattered zero to the play, it's ridiculous. And it has to, and this is not the first time that I've said this. This is not the first time that I've seen this. I've seen it happen a few times, and it should not wipe out a touchdown. It makes no sense to me at all.
Someone is saying it's the same officiating crew that called the Oklahoma State-Michigan game last year, Central Michigan game last year. I looked on Saturday, and I don't think that that's accurate. But now I'm going to have to double check it. Because we're in this era where something gets said by somebody and then it spreads like wildfire and it becomes a fact. Now, there is a texter that is saying Tomlin rode Bill Cowher's team to a Super Bowl title. They won the Super Bowl in his second year there, which was 2008. He ain't riding anybody's wave anymore. The last three seasons, they've been 11-5, 10-6, and 11-5. That's not riding anybody's wave at this point in his career, and yet people still don't want to give Mike Tomlin credit for being the coach that he is. The guy has been there since 2007. His worst two seasons, they came back-to-back in 12-13. They played 500 ball and missed the playoffs.
As a former St. Louis Rams fan,
Mike Tomlin,
I would take Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin is a hell of a football coach.
I think it's funny that people can't separate the fact that sometimes a coach can't make adjustments. Like the big knock against Mike Tomlin is that he hasn't been able to make adjustments to the New England Patriots. Two things. A, very few teams in the NFL have been able to, exactly. And B, good coaches do make mistakes. There are coaches out there that you can be a good coach and not be a perfect coach. I think people just assume that unless you're winning, competing for a Super Bowl every year, and this is for players too, especially the quarterback position, you're not a good coach, you're not a good quarterback. He is a really good coach, and he has had so much success in the NFL, but I think he falls under that umbrella of, like, all the coaches below Nick Saban in the SEC. They lost their job because they couldn't get over the Nick Saban hump. When you realize, hey, maybe it's not easy to do that because no one has figured out how to do it yet, and the SEC is becoming watered down because of that, I hope the same thing doesn't happen to the NFL and their coaching pool.
The number of, and I said, I referenced that quote earlier about five or six quarterbacks every year that can take a team to the Super Bowl. There are probably fewer coaches that you can say that about. And that, yeah, there's, okay, so you got a coaching issue in the NFL, you got a quarterback issue in the NFL, you got a number of things that are adding up to people not being interested in the NFL anymore, and all anybody wants to talk about, players kneeling for the national anthem, which to me is, oh, sorry, I don't buy it. I watched more NFL this week than I have probably since I had the Sunday ticket a couple years ago when we went to DirecTV and you got it for free. And I watched the games, and I don't know whether it was the matchups, it was the play, I was not entertained. I found the play boring.
I'm with you.
I found too many penalties were being called. Oh, hey, somebody ripped off a great return, a kick return. Penalty, coming back. 13-yard run, great. Penalty for a hold, it's coming back. Pass downfield, 5 yards off the mark because the quarterback is mediocre. An NFL quarterback, and there are a lot of them playing in the league right now, who can't make passes to receivers, and it's not the receivers not making the play, it's the quarterback not putting the ball where it needs to be. Those are the reasons why the NFL is struggling, and yet it is still more popular than baseball. It's still more popular than the NBA, and I'm not even going to bother to say that it's more popular than hockey, because even the national anthem kneeling, not watching the NFL anymore, people would admit that. It's just, it's not that entertaining, and I'm watching the game on Saturday in the press box, and I'm thinking, now you're going to bring this into the college game. You're going to throw a flag on Akram Wadley for high-stepping, and it's not like he turned around with the football and made a Zorro Z in the air at the 7-yard line and backpedals his way into the end zone.
He took two high steps.
Which is sort of his
thing. And they weren't even that high.
Which, yeah, you probably should have coached that out of him the first time you saw him do it in a game. But now we've got to make college football less fun. This isn't going to end well. 6:50, we'll step aside and take a quick break. Kyle's got one final big board update for you. Monday Night Football on the way. I bet it's going to be a wonderfully entertaining game without Odell Beckham Jr. out there to make plays. and Paul Perkins carrying the ball for the Giants. Nah, I shouldn't be giving this the undersell. We do want you to listen to the game tonight. 6:50, more of the Todd Brownlow Camp Show on the way after this.
Burger King presents Breakfast Stories. Here's Pete, Tony, and the 2 for $4 croissant sandwich deal.
The other day, Pete and I go to Burger King for my croissant sandwich. You know, they're just 2 for $4.
Oh, it's my favorite. I'm like, what?
Yeah, so I got 2 croissant sandwich, and I get one of this guy.
I'm like, who are you?
I'm the guy that just paid for your breakfast.
That's my favorite guy.
You guys, the croissant sandwich deal is 2 for $4, made with 100% butter for a soft and flaky croissant. Get 2 croissant sandwiches now for $4 only at Burger King. Price and participation vary.
Napa know-how.
When you purchase a set of Napa brake pads and rotors, you get a discount code from Fanatics.com worth up to $50 towards your favorite sports gear. While Napa can't help your team reach the promised land, we can help make sure your car will, because these brakes come with something no sports team does: guaranteed performance. Great brakes, great price, great fan gear. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
Offer expires September 30th, 2017.
This week, tune in to the Paul Feinbaum Show as I discuss
the delicious taste of ice cold Dr. Pepper.
Larry Culpepper? Hey, I'm in the middle of a promo.
Sorry, Finny. The fans are craving so much Dr. Pepper, I thought I'd borrow some of your airtime.
Security!
Hey, look, whether you're watching college football or calling into some guy's radio show, Dr. Pepper makes college football that much sweeter. So grab some of your local store today.
Can I have one of yours?
Hey, we got a caller. You're on the Larry Culpepper Show with your host, Larry Culpepper.
That's it.
That's Dr. Pepper, the one fans crave. Available at Walmart.
When the game is on the line, you put the ball in the hands of your best player, because they always perform under pressure. And at Valvoline, we too believe performance comes from hands-on expertise. That's why we created Valvoline Full Synthetic, specially formulated to provide maximum engine protection against friction and wear. So when performance counts, put your engine in the right hands. Valvoline, 150 years under the hood. Visit Advance Auto Parts now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic and an oil filter starting at $29.99. See store for restrictions and details.
Even the most talented players don't make a winning team without a great coach. I'm Lisa Nolan with RE/MAX Real Estate Concepts. And as a lifelong Cyclone fan, I appreciate all the Iowa State coaches. As a realtor, I am your coach. I identify the strongest selling points for your home, I understand the details of this market, and I always make a clear plan for your success. Let's work together to buy or sell your home. You can contact me anytime at lisanolanrealtor.com. We'll make a great team.
The Cedar Rapids Parks and Recreation Department proudly supports sports for preschool through high school students, with programs and facilities serving thousands of kids each year. This fall, take in the beauty of the season at a Cedar Rapids golf course. During September, you can play from 7 a.m. until dusk, and in October from 8 a.m. until dusk. And that's at all 4 Cedar Rapids golf courses: Twin Pines, Ellis, Jones, and Gardner. See special fall rates at playcedarrapidsgolf.com.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports like you with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great. And we want to help get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
Have you seen the Johns lately at TCB Pool Hall? No, not the two guys at the bar. I'm talking about the restrooms. No joke, 5 stars. But enough about that. TCB is a pool hall with 10 full-size tables you can rent by the hour, so you can play as long as you want. There are always interesting drink specials. I mean, you've got to have something to sip on between shots, right? Play pool, drink cold beer, use the John at TCB Pool Hall on the Pedball next to Mondo Saloon, downtown Iowa City.
6:55, let's kick it over to Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa beat North Texas 31-14 on Saturday, but not without some bumps and bruises along the way, most notably to James Butler, who Kirk Ferentz said will be out for at least about a month. Butler suffered what appeared to be, in the best-case scenario, a hyperextended right elbow, and the first game Hawkeye fans may see him return is at Northwestern on October 21st. Ferentz said he expected everybody else, including Akram Wadley, to be back and healthy by midweek. Iowa's September 30th game with Michigan State was picked up by Fox today and flexed to 3 o'clock. Matchup and network alike, it'll be a rematch of the 2015 Big Ten title game and the first time the teams have met since. The game this weekend is going to be the 7th annual America Needs Farmers game, and Iowa Athletics has partnered with the Iowa Farm Bureau to announce that Chad Greenway will be this year's addition to the Wall of Honor. Greenway played at Iowa from 2002 to 2005 and with the Vikings until 2016. Iowa State got a commitment from 6'5", 2018 receiver Sean Shaw Jr. this afternoon. 24/7 Sports grades him as a 3-star and the 8th best prospect from the state of Oklahoma. You can catch the Iowa baseball team in an exhibition prior to the Iowa-Penn State nightcap at Kinnick on Saturday. They'll be hosting the Ontario Blue Jays beginning at 11 and playing until 4 o'clock. Admission will be free. And after our show tonight on 1600 AM, we'll have the Cyclone Call-In Show. And on the North and South Gym FM frequencies, it'll be Monday Night Football with the Lions and Giants.
If you were listening to the start of the program today, I began it by dedicating it to all of us ham and eggers out there. Bobby Heenan passed away over the weekend at the age of 73. He was the best manager in the history of professional wrestling. A fantastic guy who was great at his job. And as somebody who watched a lot of wrestling as a kid growing up, man, I would have given anything to have been Bobby the Brain Heenan. And I had an opportunity, I ran into him at a baseball card show several years ago. He was already sick and he'd lost a ton of weight, but he didn't necessarily have the jaw surgery, and he didn't have the drastic appearance change that he did later on in life. Man, what a tremendous guy, and took care of his fans. A great, great guy, and a sad loss for not only people who like pro wrestling, but people who like to be entertained, because he was a damn good entertainer. Bobby the Brain Heenan, the Weasel, reunited with the one and only Gorilla Monsoon. Coming up on the program tomorrow, we'll hear from Kirk Ferentz and the Iowa football players.
Ed Creech as well for MLB Trade Rumors.
All right, join us then. Appreciate you listening. Thanks.
Jepacco is a local financial cooperative that gives back to its members, like me. Just for keeping and growing my savings and services with them, my share was $200.